Well, motherhood, it really is a Herculean task. When you think of all the energy, care, and perseverance it takes to nurture a human being from a vulnerable baby to a well-functioning adult, it seems almost impossible. But God, knowing what would be required, and knowing we would not be a race that would disregard its young just for them to figure it out on their own, He created motherhood. I think He also created fatherhood too, but motherhood is what we're focusing on today. And ultimately, when I think about introducing a Mother's Day message, I'm always torn between sharing a poem or something that really lauds all the things that would make a perfect mother, all the wisdom and strength and compassion and self-sacrifice. The thing that basically, kind of like Proverbs 31, you look at and you say, oh my gosh, how could anyone be that? How could I ever attain to that? Another option is to describe a cartoon like this of a two-year-old freckle-faced boy in a hallway. His pajamas are unsnapped, his diaper is baggy, and he's got a little teddy bear dangling in his hand. He's standing in front of his mother and father's bedroom door, which is shut. On the door is a little sign written by a weary mother, "Closed for business. Motherhood out of order." And see, I usually opt for the second, because if there's anyone who knows what a mother should be, it's a mother. And whatever gaps exist between those pictures of a perfect mother and what any mother is on Mother's Day, I'd rather cut you some slack and find a way to say thank you for all you are doing with God's wisdom and strength to be the best mother that you can be. And this Mother's Day, I really am grateful for being in Matthew chapter 25, because when I see the needs expressed by Jesus here in the lesson of the sheep and the goats, when you read verses 35 and 36, it says, "For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." When you think of all those things, all that activity, all the ministry that exists there, isn't that a great picture of motherhood? I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was unclothed, and you gave me something to wear. I mean, that is an expression of motherhood. And I think that ultimately, when we look at this activity, when we think of the ministry that ultimately Jesus calls us to, when we see this as, again, that final exam, when we stand before God and we consider, what is God going to ask of us? What kind of people does He want us to be? Here's what is described here. And so, Father, therefore, as we seek God's counsel and direction and power for this, again, I think there are certain steps we need to go through, certain things we need to recognize is the progression of going from where we are, not doing these things, to ultimately doing them. And I think the first step as far as our activity, in terms of what we would do, is to notice. Ultimately, when we think about what we do, problems we're unaware of can never be solved. Needs unobserved can never be met, and heartache that goes unseen can never be healed. See, we will never, as believers, do the things that God calls us to here if we don't notice things, if we don't see them, if we're not aware of them in the first place. See, ultimately, when we think about the five senses that God gives us, you know, our sight, our hearing, our touch, our taste, all the things that God gives us to engage with the world, to negotiate through our environment, I think we have to be aware that's not only for our own self-preservation, but also to be aware of other people. You know, there's a point in time in our development where we go from a really self-focused, self-attention type of people when we're young to a point where, wait a minute, there are other people around me. Other people matter. But those other people don't matter just because of what they think of me, because that's usually the way it goes. But then we move on beyond that to say, these people matter because there's a role I have to support them. I have a role I have to care for them, and we need to notice that. See, we need primarily to have our eyes and ears open and ask the Holy Spirit to give us Jesus' eyes, to give us the awareness of, again, what are people going through. And I think, ladies, I just think you tend to do that better. I can't tell you how many times Karen comes to me and says, "Boy, did you notice the look on that person's face? Did you see that person was struggling?
Did you notice when you were engaging with them, they weren't really hearing, or they were being impacted by what you said, or how they came to you, and did you get that? And it's like, what? I didn't even know. What are you talking about? But again, I think you ladies just have this heightened sense of, again, the priority that people have and the care that they would require. And again, just seeing those things. And so ultimately, I think you ladies, again, you have to understand that that is something God has enabled you with in terms of your raising children and your being the nurturing participant in that. And ultimately, there's a point for us as men to recognize the value that brings to that. See, people that are going through these things, people that are hungry, people that need clothes, people that are struggling in the way that this passage illuminates, oftentimes they won't tell us. You know, some of these needs, in terms of the emotional brokenness, the discouragement, the heartache that is part of the pictures that are given here in Matthew 25, again, we need eyes to see them. We need a sensitivity that goes beyond our capacity to see that. And I think that is really a great picture of motherhood. I think one reason that Jesus makes mention of the least of these, my brothers, you know, in terms of those are the people that he targets here, when you've done it to the least of these, you've done it unto me. I think it's because it's easy to miss the least. It's easy to miss the person that's hurting. It's easy to miss the person that's poor. It's easy to miss the person that's annoying. It's easy to miss the person that, again, is less than us in terms of whatever that we would identify as less than us, status or education or wealth or whatever it is. See, there's a reason why the world acclimates to people that are like them. You know, I think I've heard you say this before. But do you know why Capital Grill charges more money for a steak than Outback Steakhouse? It's that only rich people will be at that restaurant. The steak isn't any better. It doesn't come from special cows that, you know, maybe it's grain-fed instead of whatever. But in other words, the point is, I want to make sure that when I'm sitting in a restaurant, the people around me are wealthy people. I don't want people with screaming kids or maybe people of a different race or whatever. See, again, the world acclimates to, well, I want to be with people that are like me. Well, guess what? The church isn't like that. In fact, the church is the exact opposite. God is asking us, again, to welcome people that are different. Again, I like what you said, Amy, in terms of, yeah, oh, really, God, I pray for that person, I care for them. You know, but you really don't. You really don't even see them. You don't even notice. And again, I think that is the first step that we need to go through. I think the second step, which you have heard me even say, is to care. That after we see it, we have to care for that person. Now, noticing caring will feed off and complement themselves. But ultimately, it's possible to notice something without caring. And it's possible to care about things without even noticing. In other words, we can be a caring person, and we might want to care, but if we don't notice the need, we won't connect to it. Now, sometimes we notice the need, and if we're not stirred inside ourselves to care, then again, we will be missing something. See, I think we need to, in our lives, fight against the tendency we have to become hard and callous. We just have to understand that this part of what life does that hardens us. This part of what's in our hearts that hardens us, that makes it a challenge in terms of negotiating through the tough things in people's lives. You know, what I see in terms of what Jesus presents here is, again, becoming involved in the mess of people's lives. And again, we are oftentimes hardened from that, or hardened to that, in terms of, again, not caring, not having compassion. I think there are things in the world that can make that hard. You know, sometimes we're even overwhelmed by the idea of just how much there is in terms of the activity that is required. So I think we, again, must need to pray to God. We need to continually need to ask him to make us soft, to churn up our hearts, to, again, give us his eyes, his ears. See, care and compassion is that mindset, that state of the heart that causes what we notice to affect and impact us. See, what care means is that I'm affected by the fact that you have a problem. I'm not hungry. I'm not needing clothes. I don't need these things. But ultimately, because you do, I'm changed. I'm different because of that. I'm hurt. I'm identifying. I care. I have compassion. See, that's what care and compassion is. Is again that willingness for us to be affected by what other people are going through. I think that ultimately, again, and when we think about that hardness, we think about what is the challenge to ultimately being that type of person that cares that much, is we need to avoid the propensity one might have to judge people in terms of the condition that they're in. See, it's very easy to take people that are hurting. Very easy to take people that are homeless or that are in prison or, again, that need the basic necessities that Jesus describes and says, okay, they've made their bed, now lie in it. You know, there's a series of choices that they've made that puts them in this situation, so let them deal with it. You know, Jesus is calling us to, again, have compassion, have care for them. Maybe a thought of saying, but for the grace of God, there go I. But for how God has provided, how God has revealed, how God has manifested himself, that I would be in the same place. You know, I think when we think about the care and compassion that God calls us to, the book of Philippians chapter 2 gives a great picture of that. And you don't need to turn there, but if Mike happens to get it up on the screen, Philippians chapter 2, 3, and 4, I will just read it here. It says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. And it was just don't think about yourself. Just don't think about the things that more naturally come to you of taking care of yourself, but think of other people as more important. I mean, do you hear that? Do you see what God is saying there? That person is more important than, like, that person that is the least, that person that is hurting, they're more important than me. They're not lower than me, they're actually higher than me in terms of what God is calling us to in the consideration we have for another. And so I think that when we think about, the human need that is expressed here, I think this is where motherhood, in terms of the care and concern, that's practically automatic for you. I think there's an aspect of motherhood that says, I'm going to sacrifice. I'll have less so you can have more. There's a last piece of cake, and what does the mother say? And the mother's not saying, I want that, that's mine. No, she's giving it away to someone else. So again, when we think about the care and compassion that is normally associated with, or what is necessary to fulfill these requirements of Jesus, to fulfill the things that God is calling us to, the care that is necessary. See, I think there's a way that we can do these things. We can serve in food kitchens. We can deal with the homeless. We can practically, logistically perform the things that Jesus calls us to in Matthew 25. And if we don't have caring hearts doing that, again, we will be ineffective. Like, people will receive what we're giving, but again, the heart isn't in it, or we're not expressing, again, grace and compassion to that person. Again, we're missing the more important part. In many ways, even if people have a physical need, more than anything, they need care and compassion. More than anything, they need someone to identify with them, to join them in their suffering, to be with them at their side as they're dealing with what they're dealing with. And again, we have to care. And that, again, that care just comes more naturally. You know, I think that when God saw what needs were present in terms of nurturing a human being from that baby into adulthood, again, that identification, that care, and that compassion was something that he placed in the needs, in the heart of a mother. I think oftentimes the concern for mothers is that sometimes you care too much. You know, sometimes you don't look at issues of truth, or you don't look at issues of responsibility. You know, I know there are women that associate themselves with men because they want to rescue them. They're so caring and compassionate and want to, again, effectively change a man and bring him up in life that they'll connect themselves to them, and then they'll be brought down the negative road that that man is on rather than lifting that man up. And so again, I think that there's more of an aspect of a woman's heart in terms of this care and this compassion that, again, might need some boundaries in terms of God's word or what a man might guide her in terms of our unsympathetic nature. But we'll get to that on Father's Day. But again, don't miss what Jesus is calling us to care for. He's calling us to care for the least of these, my brothers. Because I think the reason why that's important is that when we're caring for the least, we have to understand that they will get nothing in return. See, when we're caring for the best, when we're caring for the strong, when a rich guy has a flat tire and you go and you help him fix the flat tire, maybe you might expect you're going to get some money or a connection in terms of relationship. You know, you see a Beamer, on the road, broken down. Oh, well, let me stop for that, because, there must be something coming my way after I care for that person. Now, that's not to say that the strong people don't need ministry. It doesn't mean that rich people don't need Jesus. It doesn't mean that we, I have no relationships with wealthy people. No, but it's an aspect of, again, what Jesus calls us to in terms of just basic need, basic human need, and the awareness and the care that is necessary for that, and we have to recognize that when we're going to the least, we just expect nothing to come in return. So we have to notice and we have to care. The third step, I think, is pretty obvious. We have to do something. See, ultimately, actions do speak louder than words, right? I mean, if we stopped in just being aware of noticing and caring and didn't do anything, no one would get fed, no one would get clothed, no one in prison would be visited. So again, there is action that ultimately care and awareness, care and noticing are the foundation of action. Again, if we have action without those, we won't be expressing the heart of Christ. We'll be expressing the ministry of Christ in terms of what God directs us to, but we have to have his heart along with that. But again, the heart without action doesn't work. I think what we need to do is we need to think of things that cripple us. What's the thing that causes us not to notice, not to be aware? What are the things that cause us not to care? And then what are the things that come in that we notice and we care, but then we don't do anything about it? We're crippled. We're stymied by things. Sometimes that is responsibility. Sometimes that is time. Sometimes what is the enemy of the best is the good. I'm doing good things, but are you doing the best thing? Are you maximizing what Jesus would have you do? See, I think it's on all of us as believers. It's on all of us as a church to think about what ways are we practically following through on the ministry that Jesus is calling us to here? What ways are we practically helping the poor? What ways are we practically helping the hungry and those that need clothes and those who need visitation and all the dynamics of what Jesus describes in Matthew 25? To what extent are we, and I agree with Amy, I think that as we saw last week, that is first to each other, but then we extend that to the whole world. And I think in some ways it is what we give to each other that is then a ministry to those outside of the world. Say, I want some of that. I agree with Lori, if that's a woman's name, that the world is hurting for community. I even think when you think about people that you would minister to in terms of this human need, in terms of poverty or need for food or clothing, whatever it might shelter, whatever it might be, that the greatest need they have is community. And so therefore, for us to offer community along with things. But again, if we're not doing it, we have to think about what cripples us. I think there is an overwhelming nature to things that cripples us. Like we look at human need, you look at the TV, you look at the news, you read the newspaper, you look at the internet, and you think of all the tragedy that's going around the world, all the things that are happening where people are suffering. And I think sometimes what happens is that we get stuck and say, wait a minute, well, what am I? I can't do that. I can't solve that problem. I can't effectively minister in that situation. And so what can I do? And I think it is the role of the church, I think it's the role of any church to make that easy for you, to make that easy for us. That ultimately there are things that we put in place in terms of, again, it's not me as an individual figuring out how do I do these Matthew 25, 35, and 36 things, but how do we as a body do that? How do we do that together? And so I would just ask for there, if there are people in the congregation that when you read these things, again, you read 35 and 36, I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. And those things really stir your heart. Like that is your sweet spot. You have a gift of mercy. You have a gift of compassion in terms of caring for people. We need to get you together to form a team of people that takes these verses and says, how should Living Hope do this? Let's look at hunger in North Kingstown. Let's look at hunger in Providence. Let's look at hunger in the state of Rhode Island and say, how can we practically, again, do our part? We're not going to solve the whole thing, but what part do we have? I think you've heard maybe, I know I've shared, but I'll share it again because it's a great picture. You know, there's a young boy going down there's an older man walking down a beach, and there was a boy there, and there was just hundreds of starfish that had come up on the sand. And basically this boy is throwing starfish back into the ocean. And the old man says, what are you doing? Well, I'm trying to help these starfish get back in the water. He says, well, you'll never, look at all these starfish. You'll never make a difference in terms of all this. And he took a starfish, threw him in the water, and says, well, I helped that one. You know, so there might be 10,000 people in Rhode Island that are hungry, but if we can take care of five of them, we're effectively fulfilling the ministry of Christ. Again, the final exam, when we stand before God and says, what do you do with your life? Well, blah, 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 blah. I fed the hungry. I gave water. I was a comfort. I visited. Again, those are the things that God is going to be asking of us. And so what extent, again, are we open to laughing with those who laugh, crying with those who cry, sharing the burdens that we have in terms of our lives? You know, there's a message of vulnerability in terms of openness and sharing need. There's us sacrificing ourselves for the sake of other people. But then we extend that to the world, both in terms of the picture that we have that would draw them in. Like, this is what being a believer means. This is what Jesus makes his church to be. So come along and be with us and learn the faith. See the faith in the people. See the faith in character. See the faith in action. Wow, I'm more convinced about who Jesus Christ is because, again, the transformation that I see in you, that I see the church offer something the world can never offer. But again, we're showing that in our action. And I think as a congregation, we need to do better with that. You know, and I've said this before, you know, if I'm the one doing this, it's going to be limited. That will stymie us. If I'm the one that's looking at assessing the need and finding the projects, finding the organizations we can partner with and so on and so forth, again, in terms of all the things that I believe God would call me to as pastor for me to have as my priority, it wouldn't be that. But when I think of a team of people that have mercy and compassion, who are doing the legwork, that are organizing plans, finding vehicles for money or action or activity, that's what we need. Because again, as we think of stepping it up in terms of our relationships ourselves, but then what Jesus is calling us to minister to the world, again, just realize that's what I believe, where we need to move. I think ultimately that's where God would have us to, one of the things that God would have us to go in terms of leading us as a congregation. And as we think of just this being a communion Sunday and thinking about the words of Jesus, thinking about, again, what he's going to be confronting us with as he returns in glory, what a perfect picture to usher in terms of our celebration of communion. So I'm not sure who might be singing or who might be sharing for communion, but why don't we start that process, and I will close our time in prayer in terms of the message. Father, we just do come before you, and Father, as we do think of what Jesus' call is on us as individuals, as a body, in terms of caring for the most basic human need that exists. Father, I just pray that you move in hearts, that you generate just an influence, a team, a group of people that just have this, that's part of their DNA. And as they work together, then we become better at doing this. But Father, we want to focus our activity or our attention right now beyond just what things you'd have us to do, to the person of Christ, to the sacrifice that he made, to the gift that Calvary is to all of us, that ultimately infuses us with power, that transforms us into the people that we're meant to be, and makes mothers with the best potential to be the best mothers that they can be. So, Father, we just bring these things before you in the name of Jesus. Amen.